What a wonderful day this pictures. A time when our Lord returns to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The saints and those resurrected shall gather, meet Christ in the air. A new government emerges. Well, actually, it's the only government. What was confusion and lawlessness. But what a wonderful time to celebrate. The groom comes for his bride because she has made herself ready. The Feast of Trumpets is the pivot point of God's master plan. With the spring holy days as the preparation or preparing the saints to make ourselves ready, the fall holy days as they unfold, we are born sons and daughters in the kingdom of God, working and ruling along with Jesus Christ. What a wonderful time to look forward to, the day we call Feast of Trumpets. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 5 through 7, "And he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give the fountain of water of life freely to those who thirst. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son." See, this day, Christ returning to this earth by the sound of the seventh trump, coming as King of Kings, establishing the kingdom of God, receiving the saints, pouring out his vengeance on mankind. Question I'd like to ask is, are you prepared for his return? Are you ready, brethren? See, we are here to celebrate and rejoice before our great Creator God. This is an awesome day to celebrate because our Lord does come. In John chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "But the hour has come, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." See, we have gone too far just to stop in midstream. But I pray, brethren, that each year we are becoming more and more knowledgeable about the truth of God, being better prepared for the return of Christ than we were this time last year. See, when you look around people today, watching their actions, seeing their mannerisms, listening to their conversations, there is no fear for God. Most of them don't even believe God exists, and the tribulation that's coming on all mankind, it's more like a fairy tale. See, society is more concerned about what's happening on television, soap operas, the tabloids, who's marrying or who's divorcing who, than the Great Tribulation. See, as nations are making preparations, whether they realize it or not, they're gathering weapons of mass destruction. Mankind has no idea where they're heading because they have removed God from their life. They will soon be the creators of a greater Holocaust, which will make the past wars and heinous crimes seem insignificant in comparison. Can you, brethren, picture one-third of the population to die due to war, one-third of the population to die because of disease and famine, and after all of this, one-third of the population to be carried away as captives? Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 5. Ezekiel chapter 5. Let's pick up in verse 11. It says, "Therefore, as I live, says the Lord, surely because you have defiled my sanctuaries with your detestable things, with all of your abominations, therefore I will diminish you. My eyes will not spare, nor will I have any pity. One-third shall die due to pestilence and be consumed with famine in your midst, and one-third shall fall by the sword all around you, and I will scatter another third to all the winds and will draw out the sword after them." Verse 13 says, "Thus shall my anger be spent, as I cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be avenged, and they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in my zeal and have spent my fury upon them. Moreover, I will make you waste and a reproach among the nations that are all around you in the sight of those who pass by, so it shall be a reproach to taunt, a lesson, and the acknowledgement to the nations that are all around you when I execute judgment among you in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes. I, the Lord, have spoken." See, God is going to crush the pride. He's going to crush the arrogance of man's way. See, God's in charge, but has allowed man to choose for his own way. But man, because of his choice, is not able to learn from his own mistakes, because the foundation he has built is on selfishness and greed, not on the love or on the way of giving. See, God's plan is going to show man's his faults. He's going to give him instructions, a new way of life to live, how to love his neighbor. He may think, mankind may think they're in control now, but God is the one that is going to be victorious. Brethren, we need more than ever to stay close to God, to stay close to the trunk of that tree. Because if we do not, Satan will come in. Satan will overtake our mind, and he'll try to pull us away from God because he does know his time is short. Before we were called into the truth, what were you like? What were we like? See, we had no clue about the real meaning of life. But through God's Holy Spirit, we received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We were baptized, becoming stewards of God, working to be just like Jesus Christ. We began studying more, praying more, to find out, you know, what life was, what God had in store for each one of us, meditating, and even every day committing more and more to God, having that willingness to have Jesus Christ remove our old self, our old ways from our lives to make us a new person. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1 it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you shall also will appear with him in glory." See, if we're focusing on the big picture for what God has in store for each one of us, we will be there, and we will be born into God's family. See, we have to set our minds on the things of God, where we can walk away from the pulls of this world. And as we've been called out of this world, as we experience God's life on a day-to-day basis, God has given us a new beginning, the opportunity to inherit eternal life. See, we have turned from our old ways and now walk contrary to the ways of the world. And as we learn more and more about God and our future role with Him, which this is why we're here, to learn about the Feast of Trumpets and everything that it entails, what do we need to focus on in our life to become better stewards, making ourselves ready for Christ's return? Well, we need to continue studying. We need to continue living God's perfect law because it sets us free from bondage of sin. And as we continue living God's way of life, God is going to bless His people in everything that we do, if we just listen and obey. But if we do not, we usually just hear and forget. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, picking up in verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God we're pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Verse 21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." See, all things that are known to mankind in the physical sense will be renewed when Christ returns. Not exactly at that point, but that's what other holy days are going to portray, and that's why we are here. But Christ will have all the power, he'll have all the glory to establish God's kingdom. But when we see Christ returning, man will not want no part of it. See, the world today does not fear God in reverence. But when Christ returns, there will be fear. Man will fear him, but for the wrong reason. He'll fear him not in reverence, but for his own life. Let's step back and take a look where man is going. If you would, just turn with me to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, and we'll just pick up in verse 19 through 21. It says, "And I saw the beast and the kings of this earth and their armies gathered together, making war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him and the false prophet, and who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who were received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped the image. These were two were cast alive into the lake of fire and burned with brimstone." But verse 21, it says, "And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh." When Christ returns, he is going to wipe them out. He's going to wipe the armies out of this world. Now let's turn to Revelation chapter 3 and see what's in store for man and those who set their minds on the way of God. Revelation chapter 3, and we'll pick up in verse 10. It says, "Because you have kept my command and preserved, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world and test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him a new name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him a new name." See, God's people are going to be protected if we are willing to stay persistent, to persevere to the end, staying close to God. But here we are today. As we know, as long as man has been on the earth, there has always been some type of war, whether it has been between nations, tribes, families. There's always been death, murder, hate, strife. But man has invented all types of warfare and has committed many heinous crimes throughout all the years and centuries. But true Christians today have not really been tested in some of the ways that mankind has hunted down so-called Christian faith. Just a few centuries back, in the 1500s and 1600s, they would burn people alive and torture them to death. And Christians were willing to give up their life for God. Some may not really even known the real truth, only a belief. But have you ever been fearful, brethren, of your life because of the knowledge of God? Something we need to think about as we ask the question, are we ready and are we preparing ourselves for the battle that is ahead? Are you, brethren, preparing yourself for that spiritual and physical warfare that will soon be unleashed on this world? Hold your place in Revelation. Turn with me to James. James chapter 1 and verse 23. It says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." See, we are to be spotless from the world. Our time is short, brethren. See, we never know how God is going to use each one of us, or how he is using us. We never know when God is going to say that our work that we are doing is over, and he allows us to go to sleep. So our time is now. We need to be active. Now, back to Revelation. And we're going to start and pick up in chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things that must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ and to all things that he saw." Verse 3 says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and to keep those things which are written for it, for time is near." See, you can continue reading through this book, and you get a pretty graphic description of what is going to happen to the world, how people are going to die, how nations are going to be destroyed, and how the saints of God will rise with Christ victorious. And after all the destruction, Christ will restore the earth, and he will make all things new. Unfortunately, many professing Christians do not fully comprehend the significance and the destruction that is ahead for man, nor do they understand the new beginning that they will one day have a part in. The Bible being the best-selling book of the world, it can tell you just about anything you want to know. It can tell you about how to live a joyous life. It can give you information of prophecy. It can tell you even exactly how to govern your life and to gain respects with others. People have given their life to preserve this book we call the Holy Bible. Others claim they live by it. But sadly, it is a book that least understood for most of this world. But God has called you, and we are here today because he has unlocked our minds to understand what this feast day of trumpets is about. See, there are so many aspects about what this day pictures. Are we learning all that we can to become knowledgeable, being an ambassador for Jesus Christ? See, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's not think just because we are here, everything is going to be okay. We may think that just because we're attending the holy days and we've been in the church for so many years, we are vested. We are secure. We are grounded in the church and cannot be removed. But brethren, we must pray about our life. We must pray about the life for others in the body, that we can be worthy to God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, it says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare to those who dwell on the face of the whole earth." Verse 36, "Watch therefore and praise always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." See, what are we doing to please God in our life? Are we praying for the concern of our own self, for the well-being of others in the church, and where God has placed them in the body, that we may make ourselves ready for this return? Are we praying that our life and our spiritual houses is in order to where we can be counted worthy to escape the tribulation and the things to come upon man, to where we may be able to stand before Jesus Christ? Let's turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, "For to this we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is our Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gifts that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the ministry. Meditate on the things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress be evident to all. Take heed," verse 16, "to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So not only are we to be praying to be worthy to escape the tribulation, we are also to meditate on the things of God, giving help to the brethren, being examples to each other, teaching each other, holding fast to the truth, praying for others to where we might see the transgressions that we have to be able to repent, crying out to God for forgiveness. So the body, where God has placed all of his members, can be healed, and we can all be at one with God, preparing and making ourselves ready to receive the gift of eternal life and become new. As the church is making itself ready for Christ's return to this earth, the world is going to be pretty devastated. As it says in the book of Mark, chapter 13, verse 20, "And except that the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he has shortened the days." Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. It says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes on the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." See, the saints are going to be gathered up and return with Jesus Christ, change from flesh to spirit at this time. See, at the fulfillment of this holy day, God is going to usher in a whole new era where mankind will see but has never experienced before. Let's turn now to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And picking up in verse 50 and 53. It says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." See, a new beginning for the saints of God. A new start or a new beginning for all of mankind. See, Christ ruling the kingdom with the rod of iron, giving justice where needed, showing mercy to them that need mercy, and giving love to all. And all of this was planned from the very beginning when God and Christ changed their eternal future to allow us to be part of it. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, "For to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Verse 7, "And the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. For that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So we have a promise that what God is going to do is going to stay fulfilled, is going to be the groundwork for everything that is going to happen in the future. But once again, here we are today, sitting as a congregation in training, learning how to worship God in spirit and in truth. The holy days I like to look at is a time to reflect on where we were once in our life. See, we were all once deceived and slaves to this world, having our lives being renewed by the Holy Spirit. because of God's mercy. It wasn't something we come up with, but our lives being renewed by the Holy Spirit, and God has promised it to those of His saints. Are we the new creature that we read about earlier in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17? So we have so much to be thankful for this Holy Day season. Are we excited to know the truth of God? Are we zealous to know the truth of God and looking forward to one day be born children of God? In closing, if you'd turn with me to Revelation. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. It says, "Brethren, let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed with fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous act of the saints." Then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These things are true sayings of God." What a wonderful time when all things of this world are going to be renewed or made new. What type of excitement we can have and joy that we will have part of it, that we will have with God and Jesus Christ, because, brethren, we have made ourselves ready, enduring to the end.